Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Congress is advancing a bill to fight anti-Israel boycotts. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, the House Foreign Affairs Committee has unanimously passed a bipartisan Israel Anti-Boycott Act, sending it to the full House of Representatives for a vote. And also then it needs to percolate through the Senate and eventually on to the president's desk. Matt, this ultimately will mean that the United States will take a stand against those entities that want to boycott Israel. And we're not going to contract with those entities that choose to boycott Israel.
This is a radical anti-Semitic, anti-Israel movement, the BDS movement. And there are anti-Israel UN policies as well that are have created a hurdle that are, you know, so that you've got the UN, you've got these left, they're universally left wing. I mean, these are radical leftist anti-Semites. And once again, under this Trump administration, but even a favorable Congress here is moving to provide a barrier of protection against Israel. This is wonderful news.
Yeah, it's so important. You know, even some UN agencies have even been boycotting non-Israel companies because of their connection to the Jewish state. So this is a huge deal.
Yeah, the purpose of this law or this bill is to counter efforts by international organizations such as the United Nations Human Rights Council, which is assembling a blacklist of companies doing business with firms that have any ties to Judea and Samaria. That's also known in parts of the world as the so-called West Bank. The West Bank is where the prophet Amos ultimately lived. It's, if you read the book of Amos, Amos lived in the Judea-Samaria area. If you think about Jesus going into the wilderness is the Judean wilderness. That's where Jesus went for 40 days into the wilderness. This is not some foreign area that's unconnected to Israel. This is biblical, historic Israel that goes back for thousands of years.
And you know, that really comes to life when you actually go to Israel and see those places that Jesus lived and that you're talking about. It really comes to life. This is part of our biblical faith. This is part of our history.
Yeah, and when you think, okay, this, when Jesus was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness, where did he go? Where was the wilderness? It was the Judean wilderness.
Right.
This is what people derogatory call the West Bank. You know, it's west of the Jordan River. There is no place called the East Bank. It's just an amazing place, even though there's an east of the Jordan River. It's a derogatory term. I never use the West Bank term because it's the way that people talk about Israel to delegitimize Israel's rightful possession and occupancy of that place. It's not something recent. It's not like they just recently took it over. This goes back to the time of Jesus. It goes back to the time of Amos. In fact, if you go to the book of Amos, read toward the end of the book of Amos, what does Amos prophesy in there? Amos prophesies that after the people of Israel were displaced by the Babylonians, they were displaced, you know, by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and so forth, that God would ultimately call the people back, and they're going to come back to the Judea-Samaria area, and they will plant vineyards, and they will eat the fruit of those vineyards. And to illustrate that, there was a man by the name of Bobby Brown, former advisor to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu when he was prime minister the first time in the 1990s. He came to our group when we had a group in Israel, and he put a lemon up on the lectern. And he just starts off, "This was picked in my garden today." He talks about how he was born in the United States in the 1970s. He made Aliyah to Israel, became an Israeli citizen, and chose to live in the place where the prophet Amos lived and wrote the book of Amos. And then as he speaks through this, he eventually gets to reading the book of Amos, speaking about the prophecy that Amos says that God's people will come back and they'll plant vineyards and they'll eat the fruit of it. And he comes back to the lemon on the lectern and he said, I picked this in my garden today.
Mm.
This is a fulfillment of what is spoken of in the book of Amos.
Wow.
And the lands were basically barren. I mean, it is a fulfillment and it is a miracle the way that Israel has become ripe and plush and it totally fulfills that prophecy. It's incredible stuff.
So these blacklists that the UN organizations and some other entities are proposing is anything that is produced in the areas that they call the occupied territories, which is Judea, Samaria, what they refer to as the West Bank, or the Golan Heights up in the north, anything that's produced there, you need to boycott that, or you need to boycott anything that comes out of Israel, period. And in fact, you know, a lot of these companies and their technology, their pillow makers, there's fruit, there's vegetables, all kinds of things in these areas. They also employ not just Jews, but they employ Arabs. They also employ Arabs who are Muslim. They work side by side in the same factory. So it's not going to just hurt Israel. It would hurt those people as well. But it is, as you mentioned, Matt, an anti-Semitic movement to boycott, divest, and sanction Israel or anyone who has any relationship or contract with Israel, anyone who procures information or resources from Israel, to boycott that company. Well, the U.S. is saying, well, wait a minute. If you do that, you're going to be on our blacklist.
Yeah.
That if the United Nations does that, we're going to ultimately deal with that through funding. If you're going to do that as a company, we don't have to contract with you. In fact, in Florida, July 1, several laws came into existence. One of them is a law that says Florida will not, as a state, contract with companies that are boycotting Israel. And those anti-BDS laws, as they're called, are passing around the country in multiple states, where the states are saying, if you're going to treat Israel as a blacklist, then we don't have to contract with you either. You can get no contracts from our state.
Kind of like countermeasures. And the Jerusalem Post, it terms this current bill as, quote, the most significant federal effort to legislate against the movement. Very powerful, very effective. And yeah, the U.S. is saying to the U.N., if you're going to go after these companies, if these companies capitulate and give in to your anti-Semitic push here, then you know, they're going to be held accountable. And this is great.
You know, and people might say, well, what's the big deal? Why should we protect Israel? You know, going on and on. But God is very clear about Israel, his chosen country. He refers to it as his precious treasure. You don't hear him talking about any other land in the Bible other than Israel about that. And so we as America need to be allies of them. And it's been so, you know, so encouraging to see, like, just within the time period that President Trump has been in office, all the encouraging things that have happened to help support Israel.
It's been huge in so many different ways. The current legislation would expand or amend the what's called Export Administration Act of 1979 and extend protection to American companies from boycotts. So our American companies that provide resources to Israel would be protected from boycotts, not only by the Arab nations, but also from international bodies as well, which, you know, some of the international bodies or the Arab nations say, well, if there's an American company that provides resources, we're going to boycott them. You know, the fact of the matter is, as we wrap this up, if you boycott Israel, it is, aside from the biblical and other geopolitical issues, it's a stupid move because Israel is a world leader. In fact, just the other day, I was communicating with someone, 33-year-old, wife of a pastor who came down with bone cancer. I'm referring them to resources in Israel. Israel is leading the world on treatment of bone cancer. And there's lots of people from around the world that go to Israel just to get treated for bone cancer because we don't have that same kind of technology development or science that's approved here yet in the United States. It's a stupid thing to boycott Israel, but it's also something that you need to be careful about. Nations that came against Israel throughout history have learned that lesson the hard way. Go to Liberty Council's website, lc.org. Support Liberty Council as we continue to stand with and support Israel. You can go to covenantjourney.org and support our mission to transform the lives of college students on a life-changing trip to Israel. CovenantJourney.org. That's CovenantJourney.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.